thank you for being with us this evening. To be Krishna conscious means to take responsibility. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say that we make progress on the path of bhakti according to how we take responsibility. This means in every aspect of our life, understanding that Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the proprietor of everything and everyone. And therefore, to utilize our body, to utilize our particular relationships with others accordingly, and to utilize the resources of this world in a way that will satisfy Krishna. That is responsibility. If we have money, to utilize that money in such a way that we best benefit people on behalf of Krishna, knowing it is his money entrusted in our care, that is responsible. To utilize our intelligence, our abilities, in a way that pleases Krishna, that brings about the greatest spiritual prosperity within the world around us, and in our relationships. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. To mold our relationships in such a way that we understand what is the goal of life. That Krishna is in the heart of everyone. To respect that principle. Aham bija pratapita. That Krishna is the father and mother of all living beings. Therefore, everyone is God's child. And to treat them accordingly, that is responsible. Making spiritual progress doesn't simply mean worshiping the deities or chanting some mantra. These things are essential for cleansing the heart, but for them to be actually effective, we have to act with character, with values, and that means to be responsible. The foundational fiber of society is the family. Guru Nasasyat. There's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that if one is a guru, if one is a teacher, if one is a mother or father, that person has a grave responsibility. It is not our children to raise according to our whims or according to the whims of a misguided, confused society. It is our responsibility to guide the child in such a way that they will understand what is true morality and what is pure devotion. Years ago, there was a meeting with the counselors of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. We were discussing so many things. And one of the devotees explained his grave concern for his daughter, who was in a school and was coming home with such sad stories about what she was experiencing. Very immoral, very heartbreaking things. Because unfortunately, in most of the schools today around the world, there may be very high level of technical academic information, but there's very little education in human values. What to speak of spiritual values? And although science, technology, and all of these things, arts, are so highly emphasized by governments to create strong, economic, prosperous nations, unless children are taught very deeply by words and practical examples, spiritual values, then nothing in the society will be sustainable with any quality or fulfillment. When we see very recently in the Western world, people who have such tremendous training in various arts, but have no values. They are selfish, egoistic, greedy, and cruel. The economy has gone through crushing experiences in the West because big professional PhD experts had such hard and cruel hearts, such selfish greed, that they cared nothing for the destruction, the economic, social, and emotional destruction of hundreds and thousands of their employees so that they could have a bigger house, another jet airplane. And ultimately, many of them, they were taken away from all these things to spend the rest of their lives in prison. The common lesson of the world: real education has the foundation of teaching people human, moral, and spiritual values. So when these things were being discussed at our counselors' meeting, and then another parent and another parent and another parent had the same types of stories about the indecency and the corruption their children were being exposed to in schools, I just said one thing. You are their parents. You should know that your first and foremost responsibility before God is to give your children every possible facility to understand what is the true purpose of life and how to achieve it. It is your first and foremost responsibility to protect your children from the onslaughts of Kali Yuga. Why don't you start your own school? And within a couple days, I received the information that the parents were coming together to start their own school. Especially Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Priya Devi, they were willing to invest in it because many of the other parents didn't really have the resources, but they had the heart. They wanted it done. And it started with one little flat somewhere near Borivali, I think for nursery school. And then they expanded to KG. And then they got another flat and expanded to first standard and second standard. And gradually, a beautiful school was built, going from nursery all the way through high school graduation. And many parents were finding that it was helping them to take this responsibility very seriously. And some of our children, Rajakumari, Rasarani, who were brought up from very early childhood as devotees, they took leading responsibility and named it Gopal's Garden. That in Gopal's Garden, these children were Gopal's flowers, and the teachers, the administrators, were the gardeners meant to protect them from the weeds of Kali Yuga's influences as far as possible, and water them with genuine love, care, affection, spiritual wisdom, and the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Something that was unheard of in my own experience of school was coming to my attention again and again. Parents were coming to me, and children were coming during the vacation time. The parents were telling that my children every day are asking, when will school start again? In my time, during school time, the question was always asked, when will vacation come again? And during vacation, we dreaded. It was like a prison sentence, thinking of going back to school. But these children, they love school. Why? Because there's love, there's care. And as far as possible, even in the face of so many restrictions that are put on a school in order to classify and meet the standards, they try to make it a happy, playful place. Srila Prabhupada told us to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We should make Krishna consciousness a happy experience for children. If we make Krishna consciousness a very difficult, bitter experience, when they grow older, they're going to feel Krishna's not a very nice personality of Godhead. Because we had to do all that stuff for him. It leaves impressions. But when they feel that their education is something that's filled with meaning and happiness, and they're taught real values and real devotion, that's the beginning of parents taking the responsibility seriously. But children learn as much, if not more, at home as they do in school. Krishna says, what a leader does, the common people follow. What a parent does, the children follow. I remember seeing a tiny little child in America. His father wore like a mafia kind of hat and smoked a cigar. And I saw this little child, maybe 6 years old, in front of a mirror with a cigar in his mouth and his father's hat, trying to be like his father. Couldn't wait till he was old enough to light that cigar. Parents should know that the children don't only hear, but they see. And they absorb. And at home, what the parents do is going to be the guiding light or the guiding darkness for the future of the values of a child. What is our entertainment? How do we talk? How did parents treat each other? How do they treat others? It could either invoke love and respect or hate and agitation in the minds of the child. What we feed the child. Traditionally, parents would take great efforts to give a tradition to the child. Mothers would cook, even work hard to cook, as an act of love and sacrifice for the family. And when children were raised in that environment, they understood the value of sacrifice and service and loyalty and trying to please each other. A family is there to help each other become happy. But in today's world, more and more, just fast cereals, frozen foods, junk food restaurants. Where is the culture of loving service and sacrifice from a mother? And what is it going to do to children when they grow up? What is their values? How are they going to treat their children? That's all they know. If the parents are watching different types of television or music that's in the mode of passion or ignorance, it's going to be the standard that the child idolizes. So when the Bhagavatam says, when you become a parent, it's your responsibility to raise your child in such a way that they will naturally, spontaneously have a desire to love Krishna and live with character in this world. As we saw in this pantomime, if parents are neglectful, if the child is starving for love, then they're going to rebel and search for other alternatives. And in this world today, those alternatives are usually very dangerous. Maybe in a subtle way now, but they grow into deeper dangers as the time goes on. The Grihastha ashram was established by Krishna in such a way that just by being a mother and father and raising a child with these values, by leading the child by our words and an example in a responsible way, that alone will help us to attain perfection. By taking responsibility for a child or children in a proper way, that is pure devotional service. And that will make us perfect. Sometimes there's a misconception of renunciation. Renunciation means renunciation of ego and selfishness. For brahmacharis, renunciation is to live a very, very simple life. But part of renouncing ego for a brahmachari is to have very loving and close relationships with other brahmacharis and with other grihasthas as well, who are favorable for their Krishna consciousness. For a parent to think that engaging in devotional service but neglecting a child is renunciation is an immature, misguided conception. Because Krishna has entrusted that child to our care. And we have to balance in such a way that the child does not feel neglected, forgotten, or unloved. The perfection of a parent is to love the child on behalf of Krishna, to give the child Krishna's love in such a beautiful way that the child is enthusiastic to love Krishna back. I'm so grateful for the parents of our congregation who in so many ways have strived to live by these principles. And I'm so grateful to all the administrators, the supporters, the teachers, the parents, the students of our Gopal's Garden. Some parents are homeschooling. Some parents are giving their children very, very strong spiritual and moral values at home and sending their children to other schools. That's all perfect. However we raise our children, wherever we send them, the important thing is we're seriously and practically taking responsibility. Gopal's Garden is a facility, an opportunity, and also a great challenge to maintain and sustain the foundational values that it's built upon. Tonight, seeing these children so blissfully dancing and singing and performing with wonderful, meaningful messages and devotion, it's a beautiful thing. It is a great challenge to run this school and to run it properly. Challenges from parents, challenges just from the sheer dealing with children, administration, challenges with finances, challenges with government rules you have to match, challenges with working together. Tonight, with With all my heart, I want to congratulate everyone who's connected and involved with Gopal's Garden School for so sincerely striving to meet those challenges with integrity, compassion, and love. And I have seen so many children, when they graduate Gopal's Garden, they really are fully bloomed flowers of devotees who are spreading the fragrance of Krishna's names, Krishna's love throughout the world. Thank you very much. I also want to thank the brahmacharis like Govinda Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and others as well who have given so much of their time. They don't have children, at least not that we know of. But they're in the renounced order of life. But they've taken responsibility for everyone's children to be inspiring examples. And in this way, when there's maturity in society, the brahmacharis, the sannyasis, the grihastas, the vanaprastas, everyone works together to nourish every member of the society. Thank you very much.